Hi, welcome to Spiritual Warfare. My name is Teresa, and today I have
John.
John's with me again today. Kay will be back real soon. So we are going to read a couple pages from a Spiritual Warfare manual by Paul Thigpen. Reconciliation. Each time we sin, the devil strengthens his grip on us. Through prayer, we loosen that grip and pull free of his control. Not only do we receive forgiveness of past sins, we receive grace to resist temptations to come. That's why it's so important to ask for forgiveness rather than trying to hide or ignore our sins. Have you ever hid or ignored your sins, John?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's easy to do. You know, a lot of times we sin by omission, by not doing what we're supposed to do, or not saying the things that we need to say. I mean, if you find someone that needs your help and you just, they're going through a difficult time and you just let it go, you just let it pass, instead of reaching out to them and saying, hey, we need to talk, let's talk about this. And we just bypass everything that's supposed to happen. You know, the Bible says when we ask for forgiveness, we're forgiven as far as the east is from the west. It's forever. It's from our past to our future. And some people don't understand that. You know, a lot of Christian people make it very difficult for someone to be saved and stay saved because they put you under a microscope. The minute you say you're saved, they're going to look at you and say, well, are you saved? Look what you just did. I mean, every little thing you do, hey, God knows we're going to sin. You know, that because we're man. We got man inside us, and we're just a sinful nature that we have to get out. But, you know, when someone sins and then they pray and say, Lord, forgive me of those sins, you know, a lot of people just think the only way you can be forgiven is somebody leads you through that sinner's prayer. Now, if you think about that, if you think about when the two thieves were on the cross with Jesus, and that thief on the cross looked at Jesus and he said, remember me when you know, and he said, I'll remember you in paradise. You know, from that day, you know, some people think you have to be baptized. Well, that right there, that thief on the cross was not baptized. Some people put so many rules and regulations that this is what you have to do to be saved.
Yeah, that's true, because there are lots of people on their deathbed mm-hmm. who are led to the Lord who were never baptized mm-hmm. or anything like that. But going back to omission, mm-hmm. when God talks to you and he puts somebody in your life to help mm-hmm. and you don't help that person, yeah, that's a big no-no.
Yeah, and I think it's a sin to you.
Yes.
You know, and so we need to be aware of that so we can reach out to those people. And because did you ever have a situation where somebody comes to you and they're asking for advice and you don't know what to say, and then you just don't say it because you think you're going to be criticized for being a Christian, for saying, well, this is what I would do. This is what God would want me to do. I remember my wife one day, and she regrets this to the end. Our next door neighbor, their dad, or her father-in-law passed away. And she said, my kids are asking where their grandpa is. She said, I don't know what to tell them. Sandy didn't do anything, you know, because she was fearful that, you know, she would represent Jesus wrong. And you know, or you don't want to say, well, hey, if your grandpa didn't receive Christ, we know where he's at. But we don't know what that guy did on his deathbed.
Exactly. You know? People think that if they don't hear somebody on their deathbed say, Father, forgive me, mm-hmm. this is what's cool about the Holy Spirit. And especially if you're a Christian, our prayers are so powerful. Mm-hmm. You can pray that prayer, and the Holy Spirit will talk to your loved one, and you can be standing there. Yes, they're waiting on you. Receive the Father as your Savior, mm-hmm. And I'll see you in heaven, Dad.
You know what is really good about God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus? One thing they can do that Satan can't do is read our minds. They know what we think before we say it.
Yes.
I mean, God says, I know your prayer before you say it.
I know your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes, your
most innocent. Why do you have to pray? Because he wants to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, when you do that, when you pray that prayer, when you say, all you have to do is say, Jesus, you know, forgive me of my sins. You don't have to go into a long diatribe of just say, Jesus, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, I was in my sister-in-law asked me to go to her grandma and pray with her because she didn't think she was saved, didn't know she knew the Lord. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting, dragging my feet. You know, we all drag our feet, you know, and I did. And one day my brother called me and said, if you're going to see Cheryl's grandma, you better go see her now. So I called my wife and I said, I'm leaving from here. I'm going to the nursing home. I'm going to pray with Cheryl's grandma. So I left work. I went straight over to the nursing home and I walked in her room and she was comatose. But when I spoke to her, I mentioned Cheryl's name. I could see her eyes moving back and forth. And I told her, I know you can't speak. I said, but I know you can think. I said, because I can see your eyes are moving. You recognize names. You recognize maybe even my voice. And I led her through the sinner's prayer. And all the time, her eyes were moving back and forth. And I think God kept her alive for me.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. When we are children of God, he does that for us.
Yeah, it's his timing is perfect.
Yes.
My timing is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I led her through to the Lord, and I told her, I said, now you can be at peace, and you can go home and be with the Lord. And the last thing she did was just blow her breath out, and I think she died.
Aww. Always remember that, how powerful prayer is. And if you're praying for family members, God hears you. And he's going to be there for your family because you are his child. And he tells us that our descendants, he will take care of as well.
Yes, he will. Absolutely. And you know, you've got to believe that, because that's what his word says.
Yes.
You know, he's not going to leave any of us wanting. You know, he's going to take care of us. And there again, like I said, you know, we're going to fail because we're mortal. We're human people, and we're going to fail. But we just need to go back to him and say, Lord, forgive me of what I've done. Help me from this point. I mean, nobody is going to be perfect. And that's the problem, is everybody, all the Christians think, well, God didn't say, call upon my name and then be a perfect Christian.
Right.
Because we're not.
But people judge Christians harshly. I remember you shared losing your testimony over drinking a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my testimony for not being patient, temper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's once you do it, you're done. You're done. He was able to come back in your instance and, mm-hmm. he, you know, he saw the change or whatever. It's so hard for people to give Christians a second chance because we're just judged so harshly. And if we screw up, we can say, hey, I'm really sorry. I ask for forgiveness, but they just look at things different.
Yeah. You know, I taught a Sunday school class for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of pulled into it, kicking and screaming, because I didn't think I was called to be a teacher,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it took me probably 18 years before I decided, I guess I was called to teach. Everybody kept saying, John, you're called to teach. And no, I'm not. I'm called to fill a spot, you know, and I'm the best they got to fill the spot for right now, but somebody better is going to come on, you know.
But who did Jesus pick to be his disciples,
well,
John?
Well, he picked the lowliest people, you know, the workers.
And yes.
He didn't pick the hierarchy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They all had serious problems.
They did. Absolutely they did.
Yeah, they had serious problems. Let me read this. The demon which by your silence you let dwell in your heart has been killed because you confessed your sin. He shall never make a home in you because you have thrown him out of doors into the open air. When you sin, Even if you do it 50 times, ask for forgiveness. Or he will just keep dwelling in you and festering up and festering up and festering up. That's where he loses his strength, is when you cry out to God. And even though you're embarrassed because you can't believe you sinned for the 25th time on something, mm-hmm. you have to do it.
And how many times does Satan throw that up in your face?
Every single time.
Every time you do something wrong, mm-hmm. I mean, the Holy Spirit's going to check you. I mean, you're going to hear that small voice inside your head saying, you probably should not have done that. And you know it. You know you shouldn't have done it. And then Satan's going to say, you call yourself a Christian? Mm-hmm. Look what you just did. Mm-hmm. Now, would a Christian do that?
The church speaks of forgiveness of sins through confession as a healing of the soul. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. When I fall on my face time and time again, I will call my friends and say, I can't believe it, I did it again. And it's true. You need to confess that. Mm-hmm. Be accountable to someone, because they will also have words in return to help you get stronger, to be able to fight the battle and get past it. But just know that you're forgiven. It seems hard to believe that he would forgive us 1,000 times for the same sin.
All the things that I've done in my lifetime, and I'm thinking, why on earth would you forgive me? You know, but you look at all the people in the Bible. You know, they did have issues. Other people, I've heard testimonies from people that were in prison and out of prison, or on drugs, or terrible alcoholics, you know, and the Lord saved them. And then moved them in a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. You know, now sometimes some people can go into a bar and witness to people. All people are not called to do that.
I can do that.
There are some weaker Christians that are not strong enough to do that. Now, I had a friend ask me one time, they were having a retirement party for someone. And there was a little bar down off of 42. And I said, John, won't you come to the retirement party? And I said, I can't do that. I said, you know, I can't. If I were to walk in that bar and someone see me walk in that bar from my church, so what kind of testimony would that be? You know, I had to think, being a Sunday school teacher.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's true.
Although it would be perfectly innocent, mm-hmm. it's not innocent in other people's eyes when they see you do something that they don't think you should do.
Teachers are judged more harshly.
They are, and they should.
In your situation, 100%, absolutely. Me, like if I had a family member say, come, like I said, when I go in there, all I can see is all these demons on people's backs, all mm-hmm. over them. Mm-hmm. I go in and I pray. I just do. Silently, as I'm talking to somebody. But you have a different feeling. You're a teacher. And it would be completely different. And I don't know. I don't know if I should look at that different for myself.
Well, as a teacher or an elder, which I was, we're
yes.
supposed to be above reproach.
Yes.
You know, people shouldn't look at us and say, why is he going in that bar? And they shouldn't question me. I mean, I would never do anything, but you could be sitting in a bar drinking a Coke, and people don't know if you have rum in that Coke.
True.
You know, so they don't know. Mm-hmm. So I would prefer to stay out of those places.
Gotcha.
You know, then
yes,
then
yes.
go into them and open up that can of worms.
Yes.
And, you know, people is going to start questioning, even mm-hmm. should I be teaching the Lord's word? You know.
Well, this was years ago too. I'm 60 now. I don't know that I would do it now. As I would not be going in there at 11 o'clock midnight at the bar, regardless. Unless somebody called and said, Teresa, somebody needs help spiritual wise, because mm-hmm. yeah, no, I'm dumb. I've had my days doing that.
But you know, if we could see, if we saw through spiritual eyes all the satanic mm-hmm. creatures mm-hmm. that probably is in this room with us.
Oh, right yeah, now. They are.
I mean, they're probably doing battle right now. Mm-hmm. I was watching Joyce Meyer uh-huh. one time on TV, and she was giving this testimony that this guy dropped his wife off at one of her meetings, and she, all of a sudden, he came in, he was sitting down next to her, and she said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I thought you were going to come back and pick me up." He said, "Well, didn't you see him?" She said, "See what?" She said, "He said when Joyce Meyer stepped up to that podium, these two huge soldiers stepped up beside her and drew their swords. We have angels that's watching over us at all times, protecting us. I mean, that's what God's word said. He's going to send angels to watch over us."
That's true. And they're outside our homes and everything.
Yes.
Could you imagine God magnifying that for criminals?
Oh, yeah. All that would be amazing.
No. That's my house. The gates of hell would not prevail against the church in her battle with the enemy. In spiritual warfare, prayer is powerful. Don't ever forget it. That's what wins the battles. I just pray that everybody would ask for forgiveness so the devil doesn't get stronger against you and overtake you, because it's just that easy.
It is. It's so easy to not do anything.
Yeah. You know, yes.
To go ahead and live your life and just pretend like nothing's going to happen. Well, it is going to happen. You know, we need to put on the whole armor of God. That's what the Bible says. Put on the whole armor of God that you can fight against this enemy. And this enemy is not one that you can see. It's one that is there, and you can feel it, but you can't see it.
That is true. Kay and I did at the beginning when we started out our podcast, the whole armor of God. We went through all of that. I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen to Kay and I on our podcast yet.
Not yet.
Okay, you need to do that. So, see, people, he's not even listening to me and Kay yet. So, anyway, John, I'm going to see you next week one last time, and then hopefully you can join Kay and I as well. So, we would like to wish everybody a blessed week, and we thank you for stopping by.